on me, and I hope on all of us. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interest of others. This is what makes New Testament Christianity different than other world religions. We're not just to be concerned about our own interests, our own families, our own church, but also of others. God changes our hearts in this way. It's a work of God in us. And then the Apostle Paul continues in verse 6 and following through verse 11. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. This is the Apostle Paul's hero here, the Lord Jesus, and it should be ours. Who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, and being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him, Jesus, and bestowed on him, Jesus, the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Kyrios, the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That is a mouthful. It is worthy of our contemplating these truths and reading them over and over again. This Jesus, the name above all other names, transformed the Apostle Paul's life. And he's our example to follow as a humble servant of God. Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The world has told us for years that Jesus is just another good teacher. He's another guru. He's another way. But the scriptures tell us that he is far, far above all others. That salvation is found in no one else. He's our example to follow. And the Apostle Paul is reminding the Philippians, the believers there, the new believers, and he's reminding us in the year 2022, Jesus Christ is the way. He is the truth, and he is the life. He is our pattern to follow. Humility, Christ-likeness. May we never forget that. That's why we pray for the lost. That's why we speak the name of Jesus Christ. And that's why we encourage people to turn to Jesus Christ as the only way of salvation for mankind. It's God's plan. And then the Apostle Paul continues in verse 12 and 13. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, he says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Salvation comes from God, is a gift from God, but we, in turn, as recipients, are to be working out our salvation with fear and trembling here on earth. We have a responsibility to grow in grace and sanctification, becoming more like Christ. Verse 13, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Settle on that for a while. Think on that. Revisit that today. It is God Almighty, the sovereign God, who works in us both to will and to work for his good pleasure. We think that we're kind of turning over a new leaf. We think that we're starting to go to church or we have an interest to start reading the Bible. It is God who is working in you, drawing you, putting a greater desire in your heart for holiness, for humility, for teachableness. It's God who's opening our eyes. It is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. And then the Apostle Paul continues to exhort, certainly to the Philippians, also to us today. He writes this, see if this applies to any of us here today. Do all things without grumbling or questioning, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God. How do we earn this title, children of God? It is by putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ the Son, reconciling us back to God. Our sins have separated us our whole lifetime, but it's through Jesus Christ who reconciles us back to the Father and gives us then the right to be called children of the living God. And the living God desires for you and I, men and women, to start reflecting his holiness, his heart, his humility. So he says, do all things without grumbling or questioning. That's what comes easy to most of us, at least to me, grumbling and complaining. That you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of, listen to this, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. The Apostle Paul, writing back then, somewhere around 60 AD, described the current condition and culture of his time as twisted and crooked. What does that say for our generation? But that's what he's called us out of. He called the Philippians out of that culture. To do what? To do what? Well, he says, among whom you are to shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life. We've got a job to do. We've got a job to do. He has rescued many of you. He has called you and reconciled you back to God so that we can shine forth, holding fast to the word of life, the word of truth, so that we can effectively point men and women and our friends back to God through Jesus Christ. What a wonderful privilege and honor that is it not? So I just want to remind us of that, and especially in light of the ministries that we have been having come to the church and share with us and how we can partner with them. And it's a great privilege and honor for us to be able to now have Kevin Shrum. He is an associate pastor at Painesville Assembly of God. I found out as we met on the phone this past week, and he is a board member, chairman at the Project Hope. Judy Burr has spoken here at our church in times past. She is recovering from a serious surgery. And Kevin's going to be sharing a little bit more about Project Hope. It's a homeless shelter in downtown Painesville. It's critical to our community. We want to be involved. We need to be involved. And Kevin, we welcome you in the name of Jesus Christ. Take over, mighty man of God. Randy, are you ready for the video when he needs it? Okay. We're ready.
There you go. You can go ahead and show it now if you want.
First heard about Project Hope for the Homeless through a visitor that had come to our church. It was a young man who had been staying at Project Hope for the homeless, but he wanted and was seeking with his uncle a place where he could go during the day so that he didn't have to be on the streets while waiting for his job. And so we were connected with him, and we were able to get him a YMCA membership so he had somewhere to go in the meantime. And that's when it first ran across my radar. There's this place called Project Hope for the Homeless. For many years, it's always been my passion to serve. And so when I heard about Project Hope for the Homeless as a place that helped local people who were homeless and in need and had different struggles that they were going through and hardships, it really struck me, because this is basically what I used to do before when I used to serve in New York City in various ministries helping with the homeless and the drug addicts there. So that was immediately attracted to that, because this is where my heart, my passion are. While serving here, one of the things I've noticed from serving here at Project Hope for the Homeless is that there's not only an incredible need in our community because people are struggling, but also that I'm able to be a part of the solution of helping people.
I didn't have anywhere to go. So I end up here at Project Hope for the Homeless. It changed me how to appreciate life. It's hope for everybody. They just don't give up. Don't give up. Please don't give up. If I can do it, anybody can do it. I mean, God is good.
Project Hope impacted me by, one, I was really young, you know, but it helped me build my character more, and it helped me grow up, you know. Okay, when I got here, you know, it was really peaceful. That's where I was just honestly looking for somewhere to lay down because I was tired. It was really peaceful. Like, that was, like, the best sleep. When I fell asleep that night, that was literally, like, the best sleep I had in ever. So it was really peaceful.
If Mom would have never called the shelter, I still would have been getting bullied. The thoughts that I had while being bullied was not something somebody in sixth grade should be having. You know, like, I get teary-eyed thinking about it. It's just, I wouldn't have the amazing friends that I have today. We wouldn't have came back. I wouldn't have graduated from a school where I knew people. I don't know. I don't know where my life would be. Honestly, I don't even want to think about it, because that's scary.
Why is it important for churches to be involved with Project Hope for the Homeless? I think one of the biggest things is people realizing that as believers, we all have a calling on our life. The command from Jesus was to go and to make disciples of all and to reach out. And I believe that we all have a purpose. And it's not just simply to enjoy fellowship with other believers, but it's also the opportunity to be the hands and feet of Jesus extended to other people, so that they too could be part of this family of God, because God desires to save all. So ways that the churches and people can help with Project Hope for the Homeless is, first of all, serve. We always need volunteers. There are always hands needed to help take care of people, to prepare meals, be able to, you know, play with the kids and different things like that, because we have families that come here as well. And lastly, and certainly not least, also the financial help. Sometimes God will lay it on people's hearts to bless.
Yeah, amen. That guy over there, he stole my thunder. So, it's a little awkward watching a video of yourself, you know what I mean? you notice all the little things, like you're wiggling and you're doing all these crazy things. It's like, oh, man. But you know, the lives that are changed, it's very amazing to see how God has touched people's lives. And before I get into what I'm going to talk about today from the shelter, I just want to echo what your pastor said about the unity. That's been on my heart as well. God desires us to look past all these divisive things, that we are the body of Christ and we serve together arm in arm. We're brothers and sisters forever, and we have a mission on. And so what he gave, that is of the Lord, because that is his desire, is that we would do this thing together in unity. And that's one of the things I really love about the shelter, because the shelter doesn't play denominational games. It's really just about, you love Jesus, great, come on and serve. And that's really the heart of it, and the culture that Judy and others have helped bring to that shelter. So, again, my name is Kevin Shrum. Again, welcome. I'm so glad that you let me come here to speak. And yes, I was put on the chairman of the board. It was kind of funny how it happened. I went on the board, and because I'd been serving every Friday nights, there's a program called TLC, and I'll touch on that here in a minute, and where we get to share the gospel with the homeless that come in. And everyone's there for the first 5 minutes, but then after that, they're released to go if they desire to go. And even though I'm a pastor right now, my primary calling is as an evangelist, and that's really my heart, and both to church and also on the streets. But how many know it's how often do you get an opportunity to have the streets come to you? Just to share the gospel with so many people that are coming to you that you could never find out and about, but yet you get to share. It's such an honor and a privilege, and to see some of the ways that God's moving and changing lives. So again, I want to share a little bit about what we do at Project Hope. So we all want to have hope. There are millions, if not billions, of people in our world desperately seeking hope. Hope for their needs to be met, hope for the future, hope for their loved ones, and hope for meaning in life. At Project Hope for the Homeless, or Project Hope for short, because it's long. So these are all important as we minister to the needs of the people that come in here. Make no mistake about it, while we are a shelter, it is a ministry. We are ultimately wanting people to get to know Jesus Christ and find eternal life through him. We are just one part of many. I was at an In His Steps Foundation meeting about a month or so ago, and it was so amazing to see all of the different faith-based ministries just in Northeast Ohio. Sometimes it seems so dark in society and you hear all the negativity, but it's so great to know that there are many other brothers and sisters that are out here linking arms and working together to bring hope and change and help to people. You've had some of them here. You know, you have Ivy House, you have so many other different places that go Hannah's house and her Hannah's home. So we're just one part of many here at Project Hope for the Homeless that God has raised up to help fulfill the Great Commission of reaching people for Christ and discipling. The shelter was first opened back in 1993 after a roundtable on how to alleviate homelessness in our area, as there was no shelter for them in our county. And to this day, we're the only homeless shelter in Lake County. We've grown and served many thousands of homeless since 1993, helping to bring restoration to people's lives and give them a brighter future. Last year, we served just under, I think it was 298 people right here in Lake County, and sometimes people come from like Cuyahoga County and other places with broken lives. That included 8,160 shelter nights with an average stay of 27 days. So 71% of our guests come in struggling with mental or chemical dependencies and other issues like that. And I'm going to share a little bit here as we go about how much that changes. You would be surprised when, well, you wouldn't because you're believers, but when you teach people and you grow people in their faith with Jesus, that those other things begin to fall off. They begin to walk in freedom in those different areas. I mean, it's one of the things that makes something like Project Hope for the Homeless so special is because we treat the whole person. So it's not just like a program where they're going to try to clean someone up or just give them a place to stay, but we're going to help them to find faith in Christ, which, again, that's the root issue that we all have as humans, is we have that, we've said so many times and heard so many times, that God-shaped hole in our hearts that only God can fill. So I just want to share a little bit about what we do, and then I'm going to share a little bit about how you can help. And then I just have a short encouragement for you at the end that I just wanted to share. So when a person calls 211 on their cell to seek help, we begin to work with them to screen them to see if the shelter is right for them. Unlike other homeless shelters in different areas, we're not just an overnight shelter. The purpose that you come into the shelter for is because you actually want to get help to get off the streets. And so, therefore, we screen people who they come in to make sure, because we want to protect the people that are coming in so that they have a safe place to go and someone's not going to come in there and cause trouble, you know, and, you know, bringing in drugs and other things in here to harm people. So at Project Hope, we seek to find permanent solutions for the problem of homelessness as well as the reasons behind what caused that issue in the first place. One of the metrics we love to see on our reports is the success rate of the people who come to the shelter seeking hope. Last year, the success rate was 82%, and we're on target this year to be 84 or 85%. And that's huge because, again, that's because we're treating the whole person. We're treating the spiritual condition as well. So aside from a bed to sleep in and food to eat, we also seek to help each person who comes in to find a house or apartment as well as a job. Now, the job part's not so bad right now to find, but it's really hard to find a home. And so that's been one of our biggest struggles. And it was funny because we were praying before downstairs, and one of the prayers that one of the people was sharing was about people opening up. So that's really, it really is key, because until they can get both a home as well as a job, it's they're still not able to really integrate back into society. So we're in the problem, the process of making those things happen. We're counseling people. We deal with social issues as well. We have a couple of social workers on hand that are faith-based to help provide good solutions to the things that people are going through when they come to see us. We also provide spiritual counsel and Bible teaching, which is voluntary. We have even pastors that come visit at different times. And again, as I alluded to earlier, on Friday night, I lead up a team where we do the TLC, Transformation Lake County, I hate to call it program, it's a ministry, where we use the Living Free curriculum, which was designed by the folks at Teen Challenge. And it helps people with different, helps them with any kind of life-controlling dependency. And it's really good because it's not just drugs. People come also with addictions to pornography. You can be addicted to your job. I mean, it's amazing the amount of ways that we cling to these other things, and we need that freedom. And so it helps them to know the Lord, to get, you know, connected with and give them that opportunity to hear the gospel, but also helps them to deal with the different issues, because for most people, the homelessness and the drugs and the different things that they're going through are really just a peripheral kind of issue. The big root is needing Jesus. And so when we can touch their lives with that, then the other things tend to change. And that's why we have such a high success rate compared to some of the more secular shelters and places and programs that don't do that, because they're using just general psychological ways to try to help people get better. But if you don't deal with the sin issue, the root issue, then it's going to just manifest in a different way in their lives. So once people leave the shelter and get established, we also follow up with them to provide with them with household goods, toiletries. We connect them with various programs that can help them further as they reconnect to society. I want to share just a testimony from Anthony and Vanessa. Vanessa and Anthony came to the shelter. They showed up on a Friday night, and we began to be able to minister to them over the course of about 6 weeks, I believe it was. And after she left, she reached out to me. And so she said to me, "Hey, Kevin, how are you? We miss you guys. Still doing good, sober, 9 months. We found a house. Thank you for all the prayers. We're so happy." Anthony was working too, but had to have surgery on my arm. I was working too, but I had to have surgery on my arm, but we're able to see our kids a lot. I'm able to babysit the little ones, so it's been nice. Thank you for being there for us. We can never forget all your guys' kindness. And later on, she let me know that the surgery was successful and that she was no longer in pain. So here's the thing you have to realize. A year ago, he was in jail and she was on the street and they didn't have their kids. That is a life totally changed around. They went from broken and everything so that God has brought them together. They're connected. They're with their kids. Their faith is strong. They believed in God, but now they're saved and they're living for Jesus. Their lives have been turned around, and that's one of the most amazing things to happen, and it happens so much. There's just so many stories that I could share about how God has changed lives around through this. So aside from the general areas, just to kind of give you a breakdown of what it looks like in the shelter, and by the way, we have what's called Final Fridays. It's every Friday except for this month and next because of the holidays. It'll be the third Friday. We have Final Friday tours if you ever want to go and check out the place. And it's from 10 to noon. You just have to go up to the door 1 and 2. They're numbered, and ring the buzzer if you ever want to see a tour. And also on our YouTube page, there's also a tour that we had recorded that was done during COVID when nobody could go anywhere, and so this was a way to kind of get out the images of what's going on. But anyway, so we have inside the general areas, we have a dorm for the men and women, we have a lounge, we have storage areas for valuables, we have a cafeteria and showers, and we also have a family wing. We have what's called Families Moving Forward, which is a separate wing in the facility that was added on later. So if someone comes and they have their kids with them, so that they don't have to be separated from their kids, so they can stay together and we can help the whole family. There's a beautiful kids area out there from the play, although probably not the best day to do that right now, except for snowball fights. But it's a really great area. We have also facilities we have a cafeteria, like I had mentioned, and many don't know, but it's a lot of red tape to run a kitchen. And so the way God has moved on us is to, by faith, trust that God will provide. And to this day, because of some of you's faithfulness as well as others in the community, we've never not been able to feed everybody. So that, thank you for that, because if we tried to run a kitchen, the costs would go up dramatically, and all the red tape and all the inspections and everything else that goes with it. So this kitchen just allows us to facilitate, like, holding on to the food, until it can be eaten. But yeah, it's always been provided for 30 years. Isn't that awesome? That's the faithfulness of God, and moving on and on hearts of people like you as well. So, and we also have one other thing. We have a place for our seniors. It's called Hope House. It's in the city. It's a townhouse. It only holds 2 to 4 people. But if they're really elderly and we don't want them to be stuck in the general population and they have special needs and things like that, we have a place for them as well, so that they can go and get help as well. So these are some of the different things we do, and as well as just reaching out into the community and all the events. So how can you get involved? Well, the first thing is pray. The reason we've been able to make it this long for 30 years has been because of the faithfulness of God, because people pray. And I'm getting a little ahead of myself on the give part, but because I just want to share that now that I'm on the board and I'm seeing all the ins and outs of what's going on, we had gotten a $10,000 line of credit for those just in cases, and we've never had to use it. Never. There's been times where Judy's like, I don't know if we're going to make payroll, and then something shows up at the last minute. But God has been faithful, and that's because he moves on hearts. Prayer. Prayer is so important. Prayer that people get saved. Pray that God brings the people he needs. Prayer that God touches lives and that lives are changed forever. It's the bedrock of any ministry or outreach. Even if we had millions, even if y'all were multimillionaires and said, here, Kevin, take it. If we don't have Jesus, if we don't have the Holy Spirit moving in the lives of people, we've missed it. This is so much more, because we want to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And like I said, it's the joy and honor that it is that God brings people to us, so that we can make a difference in their life. And what I noticed is the people that come here because of the brokenness, sometimes God will allow some bad things to happen to bring us to the end of ourselves. Because he's more interested not in our happiness, but our spiritual health. And so he'll allow things. And sometimes, it doesn't mean that he's made it happen, because we also can make our own dumb decisions. Can I get an amen there? But the thing is he begins to use those things for his glory. He turns those things so that he can get somebody to a position where they're broken and they're open to the gospel. So many people there are open to the gospel. Even people who at first are scoffing will a lot of times come back later on, and next thing you know, they are sitting in on our TLCs and asking questions and things like that. But it's this process of God is working. So please keep on praying for us. Please, we desperately covet your prayers, because without God moving, then we're going to fail. So that's the one thing. Another thing is to give. It's important to give, not just financially, and that's great, And we definitely covet those gifts. And your church has been very faithful to give in the past, and we're so grateful for that, because that really is part of the answer to prayer for God. But it also to give of your time. There's different things that you could do that God may move on your heart with to volunteer, and we'll get into that in a second. But before we do that, I want to share real quick about what I was talking about as far as being through these struggles and how God uses them. 2 Corinthians 1, 3-5 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort that we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's suffering, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort as well." And what I've seen over and over and over again is God take these people, these precious, precious people, and save them and turn their lives around, and then they begin to be used by God to lead other people to faith. In so much that if you talk to a lot of the homeless on the streets, you find other homeless people, while they're going through this process, are sharing the gospel with them out on the streets and in other areas like that. So it's really amazing. I had a lady who came with her two younger adult children who came into there. She had been through three broken marriages and was suicidal, and her life was an absolute wreck, and her kids. But through the process of just ministering to her, it totally changed her life around. She and her kids got saved, and they began to grow together and to be healed together from all the anger and the bitterness. And she left there with a sense of a calling of God on her life to share what God has done in her life with other people. So that's how the body grows, right? So giving, yes, we give. One of the big things we want to get away from is, as last year, I don't have the numbers right on me for this year, but last year, 18% of our funding did come through government programs, and our desire is to not have that. How many know that if Uncle Sam has his fingers in, that he can begin to control some things? Why don't you have imams there? Why don't you allow X, Y, and Z to go on there? And so our hope and prayer is that God will begin to move through the people, through the church, and however he wishes to kind of help us in that area so that we can fully give the gospel out. And, you know, I mean, we still give the full gospel out, but it's kind of like playing whack-a-mole, because we're always trying to dodge the the things that the system wants to kind of hit us up over the head with. But so we've navigated that thus far, but it would be great to one day be able to be free of that. So financial giving is great. Again, giving of your time and your prayers, and then to serve. Without volunteers, you know, we only have a handful of staff. It's like 10 or less, I think. Everyone else, myself included, is a volunteer. So we just serve the needs of the shelter, and there's needs from on the grounds. There's needs to the food, for those who donate food to bring in. There's the people come in and clean, and people come in and serve and help the needs of those who are in the shelter in various ways. And you know, if that's something, a call that God maybe puts on your heart to help out and volunteer, definitely we could use you. And I have some brochures afterwards if you want to check them out. So that's the thing here. And so that's really the gist of what's going on. And just in the last couple minutes here, I want to share something that God laid on my heart that goes along with what Pastor said about this unity and this big thing. I truly believe God wants to bring revival to this area. He's not, until we're called home, he's in the business of saving our souls. And so God wants to get us, the church, Big C Church, forget all the denominationalism. God wants the church to be one and united and healed and working together, because how can we be used by God to bring in the harvest if we're bickering and fighting? Well, I do it this way. Well, I do it this way. And, you know, that's been on my heart for a long time. That's the kind of the vision, as it were, that God has given me, that the church, we need to work together to make a difference in our communities. Not, and whether that's at Project Hope or whether that's somewhere else, the whole idea is we are called to walk in unity and to serve one another. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." God created each one of us, and he knew from the before time began those things that he had for us to do. Do you know that you have a calling on your life? It's not just for pastors. Our calling is to equip you so you can go out and do your calling, because you'll go in places we'll never go. So God wants to use you. Are you open to it? Are you hungry? If not, ask God to help you to be hungry and to desire to make a difference, because you want to walk in what he has for you. You will find no greater joy. I never thought I would be here today. The fact that I'm here is a miracle. Up until a handful of years ago, I was a hazmat and radioactive material specialist for a pharmaceutical company. And then God put me in a place where my physical body began to break down. I still struggle today with horrific back and neck issues, which is why I fidget a lot and I go back and forth a lot because of the pain I'm in. But it got so bad that I lost my job through mass layoffs and eventually found myself unable to work. And it was because, just like we talk about people supernaturally God laying on their hearts to give for Project Hope, some people did that for us. And somehow God sustained us through all that. And even during the middle of time, then I ended up, he opened the door for me to go to Bible college. I went to a Lancaster Bible College. It's a decent one out there in Pennsylvania. And that opened the door for me to go on staff as a pastor. And that opened the door for, because I was there, to get an email from Judy saying he needed help for TLC, for Project Hope. And which, because of that, opened the door for me to be on the board, which suddenly I found myself the chairman of the board, because the guy who was the chairman appointed me the co-chair, and then I told him, don't you dare go anywhere. 2 months later, he had to stop because of medical issues. So here I am. I'm here because of a system and a series of events of God moving step by step, guiding my life along. God does lead us. He has things for us. So don't miss out on what God has for you. You want to fulfill the ministry that God has for you. And even though we had lost everything, I used to have a really big fancy home, you know, with a bunch of land. I was getting paid pretty good and all these different things. God brought me through a dark place in my health through that, where we lost all of that. But he still sustained me through that, because of people's prayers and, again, people helping out, just like we do at Project Hope. And he had given me Isaiah 43:19. It says, "See, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not be aware of it?" Listen to this. "I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." You know, what that means is, even if you're going through some struggles today, and you may think, "Well, how can God use me?" He will, and he will make the way, and he will bring you through the struggles that you're going through. You know, when you have a river in the desert, once you get away from the river, it's death. So God will give you life in the midst of even the death. As bad as society gets, as bad as your circumstances get, if you're walking close with the Lord and you're walking in the purpose he has for you, you will have life no matter what's going on around you. So I just wanted to encourage you with that. So please, 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 overall, yes, support us at Project Hope. But the big picture is walk in unity as the body of Christ and let the Lord lead you and guide you in what he has for you. The verse that we use for the shelter, it's kind of our official verse passage, is Matthew 25:34-40. And it says this, "Then the king will say to those at his right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you since the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in? I'm very passionate about this. Or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? Then the king will answer, truly I say to you, as you've done it to the least of these brothers of mine, you've done it to me. That's what it's all about. We serve Christ by serving others. So find what God has for you. Walk in it. It is as crazy as it is in this path, this journey that God has had me on. It's been an amazing ride in spite of it. You could focus on all the things I've lost. You could focus on all the things that I don't have, that I used to have, including good health. I can't take that even for granted. But in spite of all that, there is nothing greater than serving the Lord and walking in that which he has for you. So I encourage you, seek God through the word. There's general things that the scripture shows us to do, but there's also specific things that God has for you to do. And so I encourage you to do so. Amen.
If there's some questions.
Yes.
As we've done in the past with some of the ministries that we're partnered with, Kevin, thank you. First of all, you did an excellent job in presenting and explaining how we can get involved and serve. Is there any other questions that you might have? I want you to be able to ask about Project Hope while we have the chairman of the board with us. Rose, first of all, I want you to stand. Rose heads up our meal program. I want people to know who you are.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Every month, she and others are actively involved in meal preparations and getting them out to Project Hope, and she can always use help. We are trying from the church to assist by giving $50 a month for more food, because the price of food has gone up very much in the last few months. But if any of you can be involved in helping her, we'd appreciate that. Are there any questions you might have for Kevin and Project Hope at this time? Could you repeat the question so that they hear
right
on live stream?
So where do the people come from? And how many people that we can have there in the shelter? So a lot of people are from Lake County, a good chunk of them. We do get some from Cuyahoga County as well that come in as well. Sometimes when COVID was at its worst, we had to kind of put limits on how many people we'd allow in there, because we get checked out. To make sure that everything is clean, there's enough distancing and all that. We've all lived that, right, for the last few years?
Yes.
But that being said, the good amount of them are from our county. And as far as the amounts, we can hold up to 50 between the men and women's wing and the general group. And then for families, I could be wrong, but I think we can do about 5 families at a time. And then for seniors, we can do, if you squeeze it, up to 4. And so, but that's generally, and there are times that I'll come in and on a Friday to share the gospel through TLC, and there'll be, like this weekend, there was only about 17, but, a month ago there was about 35. So it's always varying depending on who's coming and going. So, yeah, good questions. Yes.
Really do need help.
Yes, yeah. The reason we screen people is because we owe it also to protect the other people that are there. You know, sometimes people come and they'll be very high and very volatile. So we have a no-go policy on that because we want people to be in there to get help. Because, again, it's not just an overnight. This is a part of a process of getting people reestablished. So, yeah, we do want to protect not just staff but especially the people. Because, you know, there's been some times where you've had somebody, you know, would you like your bunkmate 5 feet away start punching his pillow? I want to kill everybody. I want to kill everybody. That's not exactly what you want to have for a good night's sleep at a shelter. So, obviously, yeah, we want to protect the people on there, and that's why we screen. It's not that we don't want to help everyone, but we have to also be protective.
Yeah. So, Dan, yes. Stand up.
Thank you. That is my passion. My body breaking down and all that happened really realigned what's really important in life to me. And I don't really care if I have two wooden nickels, as they say. I just want to serve the Lord. I want to know him, and I want to serve him. And that's my passion. And, of course, that my family is in heaven with me. So, amen.
A couple you. Other questions I have, if I could.
Sure.
You mentioned the senior housing, and I've heard Judy mention this. How long do seniors, how long can they stay in that housing? Is there a limit on how many days that they can stay there?
Right. For as far as the amount of time the seniors can go in there, we do try to play it by ear. Obviously, if you've been there for, you know, 4 or 5 weeks and you're not making any attempts, then we might be like, hey, you know, this is not a permanent home. So we'll try to help them out. We also work, we have, I'm going to mess his name, for the Council on Aging, and he also does a show in WIMT or whatever. But we've partnered with them in the past and things like that. We try to get people a place. So it is not a permanent home. Our hope is to keep it around a month or so. Mm-hmm. And again, the same thing with the seniors is if they can work, then we want to get them a job. And we want to help them get their own place. And if they need specialized help, we try to refer them. Because the whole goal is trying to within about a month and a half, to have everybody successfully transitioned. So sometimes we have to prod a little bit, but that goes for in any of the groups. But
with the winter months coming upon us, I know the homeless population in Painesville mm-hmm. is high in the summer. Right. Where do you see an influx of the people wanting to come in to the shelters? How do you handle
right.
that?
So what we do is, first of all, you never know on a given night who's going to call up, who's going to want to be in. So the numbers can fluctuate wildly all throughout the year. For the winter months, if it's really bad out, we let people stay longer if they need to. And we also have been, and it's an incurred cost to us, but if we need the, we've actually rented out, as it were, motel rooms to house people, especially when we were limited on the amount of numbers that could go in there because right. of COVID. So we've had to, you know, we eat that cost, but that's part of the things we'll do is we'll get other hotel rooms to put people up, because if they're sincerely seeking help, we're not just going to cast them out. Mm-hmm. So,
do most of the potential residents coming in, do they have to go through United Way 211 to get in, or can you process them by them calling Project Hope first?
We usually have them go through 211 to get screened. It's because it's a free call. And so I'm not aware of people just, as it were, knocking on the door, as it were, or finding other ways to get in there. Usually we encourage that. And part of that is because there's a certain amount of when we want to see them take the steps to say, I want this help, and to go through the process. And the call is not just to say, hey, I want to go. It's part of the screening process to make sure before we let them in there, because they'll come, once they pass that screening part from the 211 number, that gets them in. Now, they still go through like a metal detector and everything else like that. And then we hold on to their goods. And eventually, Lord willing, we want to make it so there's locks and personal storage rather than in the back room type thing, just because some people are a little skittish about separating from their personal items. Right. And I can understand that because they've been through a lot. But yeah, so the whole idea is once they get in, there's more paperwork, unfortunately, to do. But before we let them in, we still want to make sure we've had a level of screening. So that's a protection in there from walk-ons. And I had a case when I used to do ministry in New York City with the late Dave Wilkerson, who started Teen Challenge. And I remember, because we had an elder at Times Square Church who, as a favor, said, hey, take this guy. And so we took him, but we didn't screen them, because we usually would give them a token to go to the mission for 3 nights. And after 3 nights, if they were still wanted help, then we would see them, so that someone didn't just come in there to start trouble. But because it was a favor, we had somebody come in there, and they were in the bathroom, they were smoking, they were getting belligerent. They were getting death threats, and we had to escort this person out for the safety of others. So that screening is very important for the sake of the safety of everybody inside.
Very good. So, maybe one last question?
I have one more question.
Sure.
You said you have been around for like 30 years, is that correct?
Project Hope.
Project Hope has, yeah. Yes. So it does depend. Do we get help from Salvation Army is the question. We have partnered with them before, and we do try to support each other. That's something now that I'm on the board that I'm trying to encourage, just like we talked about churches working together, but also getting all the nonprofits working together. We have Sub-Zero Mission. We have Hannah House. We have just so many places, ministries, and we shouldn't treat each other as these separate little entities in our own little worlds. Instead, we should be working together, because we all have areas that we can help each other in a network. And that's one of the things I had when I was doing ministry in New York City, was we had a network. And so I'm trying to inspire and create that, Lord willing, in our areas here, so that we can do more together. But yeah, we do connect with each other from time to time to do some stuff. There's a lot of great people there. So, yes.
Let's stand, and we're going to close in prayer. Thank you again, Kevin, for coming and serving to us.
Thank you.
I'm going to close this in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, the Lord's Day, where we can gather together and say thank you, Almighty God, for your mercy and grace to us. But Lord, as we've heard about Project Hope through your servant, Kevin, we pray that you would continue to bless and provide for this ministry, so that they can be hands and feet, Lord, to the lost and the homeless in our area. Lord, help us as Christians and as churches take ownership for our cities, Lord. Show us what we can do, Lord God. We believe that, as he shared in Ephesians 2:10, that we are your workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, Lord. So show us, Lord, and encourage us if this is an area you've called us into serving, Lord. Help us to step out in faith. We thank you for your servant Kevin, his wife Gail, Lord God, for their willingness to serve in this way. We pray your blessings on them. In Christ's name, amen.